Alrighty, good morning TBC. Morning, morning. I get the vibes that might have been John White. So, yeah, my name's Toby. This is my lovely wife, Arina. And we're part of the TBC family here, if you're new. Some of you we know really well, and then some of you we haven't met yet, which we'd love to meet at some point. We've been kind of, I've actually been at TBC my whole life, and then Arina's been here for the last kind of 5-6 years, which scarily enough is like just before COVID. We've had the privilege of the last kind of wee while to kind of ponder and think and meditate what the aspect of community means to us in the context of our church, and what it means kind of individually, but also with our relationships with each other and then corporately as a whole. And so that's kind of, what we're going to be sharing about today. What do you need to know about us before we kind of ramble at you for half an hour or an hour? We're both 26. We're allowed to say that still, I think, that we are. We've been married about 2.5 years, no kids, one dog. If you've met him, he kind of, sometimes he'll sit on the couch next to you. He kind of like turns and you look and you're like, ooh, he's a little kind of person-like. He's definitely not. We live in Henderson. We kind of consider ourselves like Henderson Valley Minor. We're kind of like 100 meters away from Henderson Valley Road. There's like a growing population of the Church of Henderson Valleyers. You guys all like understand why we want to be you guys. We spend kind of 99% of our time sitting in the congregation, less than 1% sitting up here. This is going to distract you guys probably for the next 20 minutes. But this is something I've taken from my childhood and realized that kind of I got to maybe 18 and realized that I could identify most of the church from the backs of our heads more than the front. And I kind of learned that, sometimes you're looking at whoever's speaking and then you kind of get slightly distracted by there's like hair right in front of me. If you're gonna start to try and work out who's who in front of you, I've definitely learned it's easier to work out not the shape of the hair, but how much there is. On a slightly more serious note, community is an aspect of church life that Arina and I really love. And we're very passionate about it, especially kind of in the last few years, especially once we kind of got married, we kind of started to realize how much that aspect of church is important to both us as individuals, but as to each and every one of us. We really love it and what it means, but we also want to acknowledge and we want to kind of recommend that we take this conversation beyond kind of what's going to be shared this morning. There's so many people in our church that have been kind of enacting community for decades and decades. We'd really encourage each of us kind of take it that step further and just continue conversations, whether it's people you've met before or people that you haven't met at all, and just kind of gaining wisdom from what people have learnt over many years of fellowshipping with each other and what that looks like.
I'm going to pray for us quickly, and then we'll kick off. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for the privilege that it is to meet together, to fellowship together, and to worship you. We pray that you bless us as we continue this conversation around what it means to be in a community and part of a body, part of the body of Christ, over the next wee while. Amen. If you are new here, welcome, 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 welcome from us, from everyone here. I won't make you put your hand up, but if you didn't know, we have been looking at a series called Practicing Holiness, and we kicked it off about 2 weeks ago. Ben was the first to share, and he shared about, essentially opened it up for us, talking about what does practicing holiness look like. He stressed that it was a transformative journey. It's not a destination that we arrive at, but something that we are constantly doing. And then last week, Uncle Murray, sorry, I was going to say Murray, but it was just wrong. Uncle Murray spoke to us specifically around rituals and practices that we can put in place in our own walk. And again, he stressed the importance of the fact that it takes consistency and discipline. We can't wake up one morning and surf a wave. We have to practice. So that's what we have learned so far. Today, Toby and I are talking about what does it look like in the context of community, specifically the community that we are part of. If you were here last year, you would remember we did the ABCs and we did Apprenticing to Jesus. This is a follow-on from that, so some of what we might say, you might think, oh, that sounds familiar. However, this is just one step further. Sorry, I've lost my place. At TBC, community is something that is pretty integral. If you've been here for a while, you'll know that our mission in this church is to be called in Christ to community. What's an expert? To the world, for God's glory, and that particularly to the community is the bit that we're focusing on. You can see it in the life of our church with the many, many home groups, the many youth ministries, the many weekly ministries that run. It is really, really important. And why do we believe it's important? There's a few reasons. We're going to talk about those shortly. But specifically, if you've ever tried to grow your faith alone, you'll know it's really hard work. I think last year we likened it to running a marathon. If you try run alone, it's really hard work. If you try faith alone, it's really hard work. And that's because holiness and practicing holiness isn't just an individual pursuit. It's something that flourishes in community. We've seen that all across Scripture. Holiness is partly the personal devotion and the rituals, a very, very large part, but it's not the whole picture, and we would be wrong to stop just there. So today we're going to paint the rest of the picture around how holiness is actually relational, and it grows when we walk alongside other believers, people who encourage us, challenge us, and people who really just do life with us.
Awesome. So there's going to be kind of two key scriptures that we're going to look at this morning, amongst a few others. But yeah, we'd really like to read them to you guys, just to kind of set the tone for what we're kind of wanting to learn about. And so the first one is Hebrews 10, verses 24-25. Hopefully you can read that. So it says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." And the second one is 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12-27. It says, "Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' The head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it."
Cool. We are going to dive into those passages in a bit more detail shortly, but I want to take a brief intermission and just look at this idea of being a part of the body, being a part of a community, just a little bit wider, because we actually do see it all throughout the Bible. So it's not a new idea. We're not trying to be young and cool or trendy and hip by talking about this. It's actually something that is foundational, and we see it from the Old Testament all the way through to the New Testament. And I think given that we hear about it so much, we have to assume that it's kind of important to our faith. And so if we think about it, God has always worked through and in communities. In the Old Testament, Israel was called to be a holy nation, not just holy individuals. In the New Testament, we see Jesus forming a group of disciples and then enacting ministry again in large groups and volumes. Please enjoy the graphics that are on the screen. So the one on the left, or your right, I don't know, the one that looks like a comic strip is of the tabernacle. You'll find some more textbook illustrations if you Google it. And the one on the other side is of Jesus sitting with the disciples from The Chosen. If you have watched that show, it's brilliant. The reason that I've put these up is because we're going to talk about this. That's why. But in the Old Testament, we can see a lot of parallels about this idea of community. So the tabernacle, there was a whole lot to it, but it was a place where people gathered together. They worshipped communally. They actually lived in tents around the situation. But they met, they did life together, and they worshipped God together. This then changes in the New Testament, and actually what we see is Jesus' ministry sits around a lot of tables. Jesus often used tables to build relationships, to teach, and to reveal God's kingdom. Meals were sacred moments of connection. We see Jesus dining with tax collectors in Luke 5. We see him reveal himself through the breaking of bread in Luke 20, and the act of communion in 1 Corinthians. There are many, many more. I'm sure you can think of many examples. But his interactions where there was community present. So the table is a representation of this fellowship, inclusion, and spiritual nourishment. Jesus used meals to break down barriers and to build community. If you really think about it, and this thought actually does baffle my mind a little bit, if you think about it, Jesus didn't really need the disciples to do what he did. He didn't actually need them there, but he did create a community of disciples. So community was clearly important to Jesus. He saw that there was a need for community in doing God's will. So I asked the question, why? Why is this important, and why am I showing you two very random things on the screen? And it's this idea about God dwelling, and we see it all throughout the Bible where God talks about the fact that he dwells with his people, he dwells among his people, he dwells with us. And while there are instances where he talks about that at an individual level, we see that it is actually God with a group, with a collective. And I'm about to get really excited and a little bit nerdy. But when I was looking at this, it was really interesting, and you'll see it when it pops up on the next slide. There's a particular verse in Exodus. It says, Exodus 25:8, "Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them." And so that's preceding the tabernacle being stood up. So that's what that's talking about. It's, I'm going to dwell within this tabernacle structure. And then in the New Testament, in John 1:14, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Why that's important and why I'm excited about it is that the word dwelling in both these contexts, the Greek word is skinu, I don't know how to pronounce it, and there it is on the screen for you. But this particular word actually means to tabernacle. So Jesus became the living tabernacle and tabernacled among his people. So we move from this corporate church building village structure that is the tabernacle where people worship God to now they don't need to do that because Jesus is the living tabernacle and fellowship happens around him and around his purposes. Very exciting stuff, riveting. And next week, it's going to get more riveting when Caleb actually talks about the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. So there's a trailer for that. So we can see, and the reason that I'm talking about this is it's really important, right? So we're seeing this kind of pattern all throughout Scripture of God being with his people, of God's presence being among his people. I think there's another scripture somewhere about, you know, where two or more are gathered, there I'll be. So we see it, it's important. And while there are differences between the tabernacle and Jesus, thanks to the death and resurrection of Jesus, we see this idea of community remaining constant throughout. So it's clearly important. Toby's going to tell us why.
No pressure. Cool. So, yeah. So first off, yeah, we're going to establish that holiness is a community pursuit. And then we're kind of going to look into more what the role in the church is beyond kind of just with individuals as in a relationship between you and your friend. And then we're going to look a bit further into why it's important to stay connected, why we have to. So if we go into our first verse, which you guys can see, Hebrews 10. So it says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." It's one of my favorite verses, this one. But you'll notice very quickly in this passage that it's not actually addressed to just one person. It's addressed to an us and a we, and you'll see in that verse. And so, yeah, the author of Hebrews knew pretty quickly that it was going to have to grow. If we were going to have to grow in holiness, we need to do it together. Now, what this also says, I mean, it also talks about spurring one another on. It kind of encourages us that we need to be accountable to each other, but also encouraging, and both those hand in hand. In the context of this verse, kind of what we learned is that spur one another on is a very powerful statement. It doesn't really mean, it's not just a gentle nudge, like it's not just kind of a little tap on the shoulder. It actually means to stir up or to provoke strongly. And what that means is it's actually like an active push towards righteousness. And so it's not something soft and timid. It's actually kind of designing us to be kind of actively seeking righteousness. So yeah, that's what it's kind of talking about there. And we know that, yeah, because of that, without kind of the community and others to hold us accountable and spurring us on, as it says, that it's very easy to kind of drift and become complacent and kind of, yeah, put our faith and our relationship with God a little bit on the back burner. Yeah. Now, coming out of summer, hopefully a few of you or a lot of you will have kind of been familiar with building a fire. Now, you may not have, you may have, but you'll know if you've kind of made a fire before, that to make a really nice, strong fire, starting off, it kind of needs to be basically a triangle shape with the narrow part at the top and all the kind of timber going in together at the top is the idea. Doesn't always work, but the idea behind that is because the flames travel up and then it will grow into a nice strong fire and then you can just kind of throw more timber on and it will keep burning strongly. But what you guys will know, if you've ever watched a fire, especially in the early stages, if a bit of timber kind of just falls to the side, even if it doesn't fall completely away from the fire, just to the side and out of the way of the flames, very quickly it just smoulders out and it will just basically go cold very quickly. And you can watch them, and I love watching fire, but you can, you know, see bits of timber that just fall just outside of the kind of the way of the flames, and very quickly it's out, basically. And yeah, we'd like to kind of paint the picture that that's much like our holiness, that kind of if we fall just outside of the fire, so to speak, it's very easy for us to kind of lose our direction, lose our passion as a community of believers and as individuals. But when we kind of stay in that fire and we stay really strong together, it's easy for us to stay really sharp together, motivated, and a spiritually alive community ultimately. Furthermore, a similar verse that some of you may kind of be expecting to be mentioned is Proverbs 27, verse 17. It says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." And you know, I've often kind of thought of this verse as a really nice, you know, friendly verse. And it is to an extent. You know, it's nice to think about your friends or your people that hold you accountable as you know, encouraging you. But further to that, if you think about, like, sharpening anything, if you think about sharpening an axe, for example, it's not a comfortable process. Especially, you know, if you're the axe, it's not a comfortable process. There's going to be sparks flying, all sorts, all the edges being refined and grinded down to be sharper. And that's kind of a different picture than if we think of us as just kind of, you know, gently encouraging our friends. It's actually about kind of refining and holding each other accountable strongly. Furthermore, Galatians 6 verses 1 to 2 talks a lot about accountability. And it says, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." And this was a really eye-opening verse for us to look at around the concept of that. It's not necessarily correcting others. I mean, it's definitely not actually about correcting each other. That it's actually about gently restoring. It says that, it talks about gently restoring. And that's quite a different idea, is that we're not actually just correcting people for the idea of following rules, and we're actually restoring them gently to be in line with kind of God's plan, which is quite different. And so that's all about lifting each other up when we stumble, which is, easier said than done. It's very easy for us to say, but then in practice that can be quite tricky, and that raises lots of uncomfortable conversations. That holiness perspective is kind of best in a community where we can extend both truth and grace, where we can kind of let those work together. More and more, I'm sure we're all aware of the tricky line of trying to kind of balance between truth and grace in whatever, in all different parts of life, whether it's at work, at university, at home, or with friends and family. It's becoming trickier and trickier. So, a challenge kind of just to ponder on at this point is, do you have people in it, or do we have people in our lives who challenge us spiritually? Do we have a group of people or individuals that pray with us and pray for us, that encourage you and hold you accountable? And if we don't, are we just missing out on a very key part of Christian life? So, we've established that holiness is a community pursuit. We know that it's important for us to have friends and family, basically people in the church together. But also beyond that, there's the aspect of what does church look like? And when we're talking about church for this morning, we're actually going to talk about when we're coming on a Sunday and kind of the people that are present here, not the wider church, so to speak. The church, we all know, is kind of beyond just somewhere where we come to listen to a sermon, although we do most weeks. But it's a body of believers. I don't know if you guys recall, but when Ben joined, he kind of said that it was like meeting a whole lot of long-lost cousins. And that's quite special, that perspective that it is, we all have things in common, and the key thing is that we're believers in God. That's kind of, it's very special and unique from just spending time with individuals, but also coming together and worshiping all together. We kind of thought more about this and thought that actually the church is also where we have the opportunity to learn and foster some great attributes towards being more godlike. And I hadn't really thought much about this before, but it's quite easy to conclude that within the church context, it's kind of where we learn patience, humility, forgiveness, and love. And the kind of thought behind that is actually, how do you learn to forgive someone if there's not someone there, basically? Same thought pattern as like humility. We looked up in the definition of humility as the feeling or attitude that you have no special importance that makes you better than others. But if we don't have others that we're walking with, that's also very hard to learn about. And patience, if you've got siblings, patience, that's the quickest way we learn patience is actually by either us frustrating others and vice versa, and learning to be patient. But beyond that, it kind of takes the next step of how do we be patient with us, with people that are just slightly different, with people that kind of have different values. So that's a tricky one as well. Beyond that, how do we stay connected to the body? And is that actually important? The answer is yes, it is important. We need to stay connected to the body of believers, the church. Jesus said in John 15, verses 5, which we've heard about a couple of weeks ago, "I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." And often we think about this verse solely in our individual walk. And it's a very powerful verse for our individual walk. It's hugely important we do. But we'd also challenge us to think about it as what it means for us being connected and involved with the body of believers as well. Kind of that if we detach from the body, it's a lot easier for us to halt our spiritual growth and our relationship with God as a byproduct. And yeah, I mean, this goes back to kind of what we were talking about in the Corinthians verse about the body. What happens, you know, if one part of our body stops working all of a sudden? Basically, the rest of our body has to overcompensate for it. And soon enough, it kind of suffers, the rest of the body. And so it's the same with a church, you know, it's interdependence. Both we can serve in the church, which is really important, but we also can kind of receive the gifts of being part of the body, which is equally as important. And it doesn't kind of work when we only do one or the other. You know, like we can't only serve forever and we can't only kind of receive the gifts of being part of the body forever either.
Cool. So we know that it's important, but we also know that we can be hard workers people, and community can actually be quite hard. So what does this look like practically? Toby and I have brainstormed these four areas that we think based on our limited time on this earth and what's worked for us. But like we say, have the conversation when we have tea and bickies after this. Have that conversation with those around you, because there are so many wise people that can add stacks to this list of what it looks like. But this is what we came up with. So the first one is commit to authentic relationships and being on the journey together. Hebrews 10:25 tells us not to give up on meeting together. This means more than just attending Sunday services. Sorry, plot twist. It means investing in real relationships. It means having relationships that go beyond your 20 minutes of tea and bickies after the service. What it means is that we have people that when Tuesday rocks around and Wednesday rocks around and things get a bit difficult, that there are people there that will pray for you, pray with you, and that will walk those things with you. So do you meet with your community outside of a Sunday? That's not just hanging out. Do you interact with them? Do you message them? Do you call them? Do you do anything to engage with others? This can be really hard. I know we all have routines and plans and rhythms of life, but if we keep to those and focus on ourselves, we're really missing the memo a little bit. It's important to have conversations that go beyond casual Sunday chit-chat. Speaking of casual Sunday chit-chat, what would happen if we said, today when we have tea and bickies, you're not allowed to answer with, I'm good, the week was good, things are great? What would that look like? What would those conversations look like? Not to say that things should be bad, but, you know, how about we try go beyond that it's good? How about we give some examples of why it's good? Or equally, hey, actually, it's not been that great, and I need someone to encourage me. Go on, give it a go. You can all do it. It's not about the casual chat. True fellowship actually requires a great deal of vulnerability, takes a great lot of courage. I think last week we heard specifically about praying together and the importance of this. It's a really vulnerable space. And it does take a lot of honesty and a lot of courage to let someone in, to be honest, to open up, to say, hey, I need prayer. But it's so, so important. It takes us to really put aside our pride a little bit, to really, it's not about us in this moment, it's about the fact that God works through people. And I think Ben, he told us when we caught up with him, but I think he also might have said it, when he spoke a few weeks ago, he said, sometimes God gives something to someone else so that they can pass it on through relationships. And I think that's an awesome reminder of why we should be praying together. So are we open to learning something new from the people around us or being challenged by them? Are you okay if your friend is honest with you and gently spurs you on, gently gives you encouragement? Are you open to being a little bit vulnerable? Are you open to letting people pray with you? Do you feel a bit awkward? That's okay. That's all right. We know it's uncomfortable. Toby said iron sharpens iron is an uncomfortable process, but it's important. The second thing, encourage and challenge one another. Toby spoke stacks about it. Ephesians 4:15 calls us to speak the truth in love. So encouragement isn't just about nice things. It's not about a compliment sandwich. It's about calling each other to a higher standard. So it's not about correcting. We ain't attacking people. We're not judging them. It's about a happy balance of truth and grace. It's about having the courage to challenge sin and point one another to Christ and to uplift each other when required. The third thing on there is serving together. Holiness isn't just about avoiding sin. It's about actively pursuing God's will and righteousness. One way to do that is to serve together. I think Grace summed it up beautifully this morning when she talked about reflecting on your givingness. And I think Toby talked about it just before. It's not just about receiving from the body of Christ, but it's a balance of also giving. We've been really blessed to serve with our home group in different aspects, and that's been such a blessing for us. So we highly encourage serving together, perhaps as a home group, take on a community project. There's heaps to get stuck into at church, heaps of ministries for everything, but where can we be giving of our gifts, of our talents, and of our time? Last one, be open to inviting someone into your community. A community is not just about having friends, not about having a lot of friends, not about having friends at the same age and stages as you. That's really important, but it's also a lot bigger than that. A community is intergenerational, at least that's what we believe. It's about having people older and younger as part of your community. Something that we've spoken about lots and lots and lots as a church is having a mentor and being a mentor to someone else. Speaking into someone else's life, having someone speak into yours. I know that Toby and I have been blessed tremendously both in our marriage and individually by people that have spoken into our lives. And we've learned heaps from those that we have the privilege of speaking into. Another part of this one is keep space for a plot twist, keep space for a new person, keep space to be open to inviting someone. Look for the opportunities that God presents to invite someone to extend exactly that, what they might need that you have. Be open to those things. I think, like I say, we get really comfortable with our rhythms and our routines. We get really comfortable with our community, and that's all good things. There's nothing bad about that. However, that can make us a little bit blind to other people that might need what we've got. So be open to inviting people. Be open to the friends you haven't met yet.
Cool. So, we just kind of have kind of some closing thoughts to think about we'd like to kind of let us think about them in our own time today, but also kind of in the week going forward as well. And kind of if we have time to ponder on them. We'll actually send these out on the TBC Connection WhatsApp group, which we'd highly recommend if you're not in that to join it. You do need an exclusive link to join it, so chat to a friend. But we'll send that out just for us to have a chance this week to kind of look over them more as well. So today we've talked about that holiness grows in the soil of community. The question with that is, are you basically planted and grounded in that soil? Which is a tricky one. Are we committed to praying with and for each other? And that's kind of both in easy times and tricky times. That's quite a challenging one. Who are you walking with? Who is sharpening you, and who are you sharpening? And that's kind of going beyond our surface level relationships. Are you connected into a home group? That's a closed question. That's a yes or a no. And if it's a no, we'd really encourage you to make that step and try and join a home group. There's so many home groups going on in our church, and they all have kind of, there's different ages, stages, all sorts of different groups. But we'd really encourage you to join a home group. It's kind of when a lot of the big relationships of kind of God things go on. So we'd hugely encourage that. Are you serving within the church? There's so many opportunities to serve in our church. You'll hear them kind of in notices every Sunday morning. They come in the TBC happenings. And it is really easy. You know, it's really easy to open that email, kind of scroll past, and you're like, oh, no, that's not me. You know, maybe if they have an easier thing to serve in. But it's just a bit of a challenge to think about. You know, are we serving within our church, and how can we serve more as well? How can you deepen your pre-existing relationships? Kind of what, like, Ryan was sharing on before about, you know, going beyond the I'm good. Life's good. It's been a good week. But actually taking it further and talking about how your faith is going, what your relationship with God is like. And that actually can be quite tricky. You know, it's very easy for us to kind of become complacent with our relationships. But just taking it to the next stage and actually breaking that conversation, making sure we're talking about how faith is going, and any, you know, challenges that we're facing. Are we frustrated with God? All those sorts of things are really important. And lastly, who can you welcome into your community? And it is very easy, kind of like what Orion said, it can become quite easy to become comfortable, and it can kind of blind us sometimes to seeing those opportunities. But yeah, it's something to kind of definitely pray and meditate on, and think about individuals. We sat down probably like 6 months ago. We were prompted by an exercise, it was a weekend to go away and exercise, and it said, you know, who are the people in your life that you can welcome in and share the good news with? And kind of without doing that, it's a bit tricky. Like, it is hard to think on the spot, and some people are wired that way. And we found that we actually needed to sit down and like name them by name and be more intentional about it, which was really special for us. So yeah, that's it from us.